The big news over the last week is that SGC has been acquired by Collectors. Have we officially entered Monopoly territory? And what does this mean for your SGC card values? Plus, is it now impossible to actually secure an entire Prizm Rainbow? We're going to talk about these topics and more now on Cards on the Table. Hey everyone, welcome back to Cards on the Table, where we discuss a wide range of topics from the world of sports and trading cards. And this week, I'm stepping in for Jeff while he's out on vacation on spring break with his family. I've got Carter and Doug, and we have some of the biggest news that I think we've discussed in a while, something that could have a big impact on the hobby. Frankly, we're not really sure yet, and that is that Collectors, it was announced last week, basically right after we finished recording Cards on the Table, that Collectors has acquired SGC, Collectors obviously being the parent company of PSA. And there's a few big questions now that I want your thoughts on, both of you guys. One is, have we entered a monopoly now? Between PSA and SGC, they now have 85 to 87% of all graded cards month over month. And it's even higher at closer to 94 to 95% for sports cards, just between those two companies. So have we entered into monopoly territory? Is this bad for the hobby? And the other question is, what's going to happen to SGC card values now? Are they going to be impacted? Does this help? Does this hurt? I'm going to start with you this time, Carter.
Well, I think this is a great thing. I'm actually really happy about it. It is a little bit of a monopoly, 94% for sports cards. That's a lot. I mean, it's kind of intimidating looking at the numbers. But I think it's a good thing. I look at the values of SGC, and I look at the cards that are graded now. Most cards that have been graded here in the recent months have been probably lower-end cards, right? I mean, people that want fast turnaround times, lower cost, they've been pushing SGC, right? And I think that's the way that PSA may go and push that, you know, further, just because SGC seems like they're efficient in that way, right? Now, I think that may help, in a sense, the newer cards that will be pushed that way. I think PSA may stop doing value. I'm assuming that, you know, because they're letting SGC stay their separate brand, I wouldn't expect too many more PSA specials, especially at the lower values. You know, I think we're going to see specials maybe in the higher value service levels. I think PSA is going to push more higher end cards where it may be lower end cards for SGC. And so I think that's a good thing for, you know, most collectors, because I think the lower end cards we want back faster, right? And PSA struggles to execute the lower end cards faster. So I think because they have the opportunity to completely separate maybe the two categories, it could be a good thing for the industry overall.
So you're thinking of this almost sounds like BGS and BCCG, kind of a value option and then the regular grading service.
Potentially.
It's interesting, Nat, a few years ago, it's been a few years, talked about his goal to get PSA grading down to like $10 to $12 so that people could do set registries more often and things. Doug, do you generally agree with what Carter said? What are your thoughts?
You know, when we're talking about the two core questions here, is this a monopoly? Yeah, kind of. But it kind of already was, right? Yeah. Like PSA was already dominating.
Yeah.
And they're going to allow SGC to run as its own separate company, which, you know, I think is beneficial.
Yeah.
What'll be interesting when you talk about, does this hurt SGC values? Right now, no. But what kind of changes are coming? What will PSA do to help innovate or push SGC forward? If we get new and better slabs, if we get different grading scale, whatever changes come, that could have an impact on older SGC slabs, right? So if we get new, better slabs, these plastic ones that you can almost take apart with your hands might be devalued a little bit. It's possible. I don't think anything like that happens off the bat, but I do think that that's something that you could worry about in the future. You know, will they offer some sort of crossover service, right? Where you could go from SGC to PSA and cross those over into different slabs.
There was the fake news that apparently came out with Rovell that he said, I never tweeted this, where they were like, we're going to automatically cross any SGC 10 to a PSA 10. Apparently that wasn't real. But
yeah, I don't expect that to happen necessarily, but if it does, you know, then SGC values start to go up. So there's a lot of different things that could happen that could affect it either one way or the other. But time will tell, right? Like as of now, you know, there's not really firm answers. I don't think there's anything to worry about yet.
That's what I think. They said it's business as usual. I don't see any big changes immediately. Now, depending on how they take advantage of this, maybe there's going to be some operational, you know, knowledge sharing. Overall, I think it's a good thing. I think it stands to help SGC potentially
it
more
should.
Than hurt. Time will tell. All right. Speaking of time will tell, we've got another weekly auction, and time will tell where these prices end. I've got a card that literally never comes up for sale. You guys know the 1909. Everybody knows 1909 T206. A lot of people don't know 1909 E95 Philadelphia Caramel. There's a Ty Cobb. It's a PSA 3. Very vibrant color. And it's a beautiful card. Pop 80 overall with PSA. This thing hasn't sold in like 3 years on public auction. So that's the one I've got my eye on. Awesome card. What about you, Carter?
I got a 1953 Topps Jackie Robinson PSA 6. I'm a sucker for Jackie Robinson cards. Absolutely love them. Any 50s, this card's for me.
Any sure. Jackie's a good Jackie.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking at football. I think it's Burrow buying season. So there's a 2020 Prism Silver, of course, Burrow's rookie year. Prism Silver Auto PSA 10. That's kind of what I'm looking at right now is what quarterbacks are taking a little bit of a dip that I can take advantage of.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes total sense. As always, PWCC runs their weekly auctions. It's going to be ending this Sunday, so make sure to get out there and check it out. Check these three cards out as well as so many more. Visit pwccmarketplace.com and go check out that auction. All right, so for my data dive this last week, I kind of was building off of the concept from 2 weeks ago where I talked about the price premium for PSA 10. And I wanted to get into some more practical would you rathers. I'm a big opportunity cost guy. I don't care what your budget is. We've all got a budget. And I went in and I kind of looked at some price comparisons of like single cards, high grades versus more rare cards and lower grades. So what I'm going to do today, I'm going to ask each of you a specific scenario that I think is relevant to you from that video. And then I want to hear from you. Have you had any recent situations where you had to make a decision similar to that? So I'm going to start with you, Doug. Mm-hmm. And I think that you like both of these cards a lot. One was the 2022 World Cup Prism Lionel Messi, the gold power one of one. Arguably, yep. In my opinion, his best one of one card in existence. Most iconic, perhaps. And the other is his PSA 10 Mega Cracks rookie card, which is obviously very low population. Okay. Super iconic. That card actually sold for about $100,000 more, about 30% more than the Gold Power. Which of those two cards would you go for if you had that budget? And what other situations have you faced recently?
I'm going for the rookie in that scenario. Typically, so you're comparing a base rookie to a non-rookie, you know, iconic parallel. But I think the differentiator for me is that that rookie is so low pop and a high grade. If this were something more modern where it was in the hundreds or thousands, my answer is probably different. But in that specific scenario, I'm taking the rookie because it is so low pop. But, you know, typically we say buy the card, not the grade, or that's a thing a lot of people like to say anyway. And that probably works a lot more for ultra modern stuff. You know, we talked about last week, we compared that Luka, right? We had the three Lukas. There was the Luka Prism rookie and a PSA 10. Then we had two non-rookies that were really sought after inserts, the Aurora and the Kaboom.
Yeah.
Both those instances, I'm taking the insert.
Yeah.
I'm buying the card, not the grade. But, you know, there's no way to put just a blanket answer on this. That every situation you have to approach a little bit differently based on pop counts and things of that nature. The player, how liquid is he? Is it ultra modern? Is it old? You know, there's a lot to really unpack there and probably not enough time for me to go through all of the scenarios.
All right, so Carter, the one I've got for you, it's Steph Curry, and it's his BGS 10, rookie chrome refractor. Those are numbered to 500, so very high grade. Or his PSA 8, National Treasures Gold RPA numbered to 25. Which of those, if you had to pick one, which one did you go for?
Well, kind of like how Doug said, I'm a big believer in buy the card, not the grade. So I'm going the RPA all day here. I'm huge sucker for Topps Chrome Refractor, especially from that year. And Beckett 10s are beautiful, don't get me wrong. But the RPA, you know, it's autographed, it's a patch. Come on. I mean, you can't do that over just a little refractor card, right? No matter the grade. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I've had plenty of situations as a dealer at shows and here buying in store, right? I love rarity of grades.
Yeah.
Low pops, you know, Beckett 10s come in the door. Beckett Black Labels, we've bought a couple here where they're pop ones. I'm a sucker for those, and I get why those are so valuable. But I'm more a believer in buying the card that's way better looking, no matter the grade.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. What stood out to me was when I clicked on the grade selector from the BGS 10 down to the PSA 10 to the PSA 9 to the PSA 8, just how much that price drops off. And then you really see, if you go down to PSA 8 in that refractor versus PSA 8 in that RPA, I mean, the gap is massive. So in that instance, it was a little more clear to me. I'd go for the Gold Power one of one because to me, it's so iconic. But I can definitely see where you're coming from with that particular situation. So, all right, we have some big news this week, and that big news is that we're having another trade night at Cards HQ this Saturday from 4 to 9 p.m., and we're really excited about that. We obviously had the Topps Rip Party with the trade night. That was a huge success. That's going to be going from 4 to 9 p.m. If you're in the Atlanta area, make sure to stop here. It's going to be popping. I'm sure it's going to be really busy. Lots of people making deals. And if you can't make it this time, we're going to be running those every second Saturday of the month for the rest of the year. So plenty of opportunities. If you haven't been in the shop, make sure to stop in. I'm hoping to be here this Saturday, at least for a little bit. I'm sure you'll be here.
Oh, yeah.
Doug, are you going to be here?
We'll see. It depends on what kind of basketball games are on.
All right. All right. But anyway, make sure to stop out, check it out, and we'd love to see you here at Cards HQ. All right. So for our mailbag topics, we've got a good one to start out, in my opinion. I'm a big rainbow chaser. You know, I've got my Drummond PC. I have many complete Drummond rainbows. I think I'm one of maybe like 5 to 7 people that I'm aware of, at least on social media, with complete rainbow from 2018 Prism. And it's one that I really like. It took me a lot of work to put it together. That was 38 parallels in total. Prism is now up to 63 parallels in 2023-24. And so the question that was submitted by one of our viewers, is it even possible to put one of these together anymore? Is it worth the chase? Has the rainbow chase died? What do you guys think, Doug? Is the juice worth the squeeze?
No, it's not. That's an outrageous amount of parallels. It's, you know, we could sit here and have a very long conversation about ridiculous print runs, but I won't beat that dead horse. But 63 parallels is ridiculous. Could you still do it? Yeah, probably, because 50 to 55 of those are probably pretty easy
readily
to get.
Available.
Yeah, they're going to be everywhere. My question, this was posed to me, my question that I immediately thought of is, do you still count it a rainbow if you don't have the one of one? Like, do you have to qualify your rainbow as, this is my rainbow without the one of one?
Yeah.
You're a guy who has a lot of one of ones. So yeah. I want to hear your take on it.
It's like you almost say, would you say, I've got a rainbow versus the rainbow?
Yeah,
right. The rainbow would be the whole thing,
yes,
including the one of ones. I see people post it on social, like, I've got everything, but, you know, everything to 10 and higher,
yeah,
which can be fun to go after,
yeah,
and a little more affordable.
Yeah, that's so that was where my mind initially went,
yeah,
was, you know, it's going to be probably easy if you have the funds to get those first 50 or so,
yeah,
cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those other ones that are going to be, yeah, a little bit harder to get.
Yeah.
And that's no different than years past.
I've seen people do it where they don't get the fast break. They get the true colors.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and
yeah,
not the other ones. There's, yeah, different ways to approach it. But Prism is a product about the rainbows more than anything. It's more than the autos, more than anything. It's the rainbow chasing. And they've almost made it too difficult. What do you think?
Well, when I first got into cards and I was going to shows, there were so many people chasing rainbows. And now I go to shows, I'm here, not a lot of people do it. I think people feel like it's impossible, and I understand why. I mean, it's just overwhelming. I think the creative ways you can do is, like you said, you don't do the no huddles. You go after specific things. You go 10 or, you know, higher, or 25 or higher, whatever you're comfortable with, right? Like, go after the cards you love. You know, build your rainbow that's a rainbow to you. But I do think it's a little absurd to do the full rainbow. It's nearly impossible. You know, another factor is just the amount of collectors and people that we have in the hobby now today, right? And the amount of people that want those one-on-ones, right? Maybe not even just to have a rainbow, but to flip, to do whatever they want to do with it. It's way more competitive to buy those more rare cards of any player nowadays than it was before.
Yeah. I've got a few tips for those who are interested in rainbow chasing. Some of those tips. So, one, I've mentioned the importance, if you're a player collector, of having a social media presence on Instagram. And put that player's name in your Instagram username if you're really committed to that player. So my Instagram, Drummond Card Collector, makes it very easy for people to find the Drummond guy. Put your network out there. And if you're really serious about trying to complete the rainbow, try to start with the rare ones and just,
yeah,
know that you've got them, because it can be very difficult to trace them down later. And if you have one of the non-one-of-ones that does pop up, like a /5, probably just buy it, because I have had situations where I've passed on those, they sell, and then I never see another one. So, great topic. Thank you to the viewer who suggested that. Our last mailbag topic, just some notable news updates. We've kind of seen this before. A couple big announcements over the last week. One, David Adams, Card World, has announced another huge bounty, $1 million. This time it's for an Upper Deck product, and it's for Connor Bedard's Series 2 Outburst Gold 1/1. Series 2 came out yesterday, which is really exciting. Print runs are expected to be pretty high, but the chase is real for Bedard. So they announced that. And then Topps just announced another buyback. And this time it's not baseball. I think it's a really smart one personally, and it's UFC. It's with 2024 Topps Chrome UFC. It's for the main event in Las Vegas coming up on April 14. You've got Alex Pereira versus Jamal Hill, and there's some specifics to that. If one of those fighters doesn't fight, if you want the full details, check out Topps Ripped for all those details. But last year, Hill had to relinquish the belt because he got injured, and Pereira, who's now won the title in two different weight classes, beat Jiří Procházka for that title belt. So it should be a really good fight. Really exciting. What do you think, Carter, seeing this news, the buyback, the bounty. What's your take on all of this?
Well, first, the bounty is so exciting. Holy cow. I've never had so many people in Atlanta be so fired up about hockey. I mean, we're in Atlanta, Georgia. We get phone calls all day about hockey.
Took our team away from us.
Like, I mean, it is. Yeah, like, I hope the NHL comes back here because the hockey is alive here in Atlanta. It's been unbelievable. And I'm sure everyone's going to be fired up about hockey cards at shows all around the country. I think hockey collecting is super strong right now. So this just even furthers that. Now, the buybacks, again, something super exciting, something different. I don't think people were expecting Topps to get involved in a UFC buyback, right? Yeah. I mean, they only just recently announced that they got the license back, right? Yeah. And this product's about to release here. So super exciting. UFC 300 is going to be a huge event. I mean, it's like there's like three main events that night. I mean, the fight card is unbelievable. Yeah. We're already talking about doing an event here at Cards HQ for that. I think it's going to be a blast. And obviously, I mean, just total liquidation of cards like that to have a buyback program is awesome. It brings so many more people into card shops, brings way more people to buy more UFC cards. I think we're growing so many different kind of smaller sport collecting bases. This is a good thing for the hobby so far.
Yeah, hockey's one of the most diehard fan bases. Yep. A lot of just collectors. And I think UFC is setting itself up that way too. What do you think, Doug?
Yeah, you nailed it with, you know, hockey being for diehard collectors. I've gone to the show in Canada and Toronto a couple of times, and it's very much collector-focused over, like, investor-focused or flipping cards. But that's where this bounty comes into play, right? Now you're bringing in non-collectors that are hunting for this lottery ticket. And I guess that would be the perceived downside, right? Yeah. Too many people gambling on a card that they're probably not going to be able to hit. But bounties aren't anything new. We've seen them from various institutions over the years, and now you've got like Fanatics Live offering bounties on their platform for certain cards being hit. So it's not going anywhere. And generally, I think it's a good marketing ploy. I like the buyback program more than the bounties, and I like it what they're doing with UFC right now, because when we've had these MVP buyback programs in baseball, it would kind of leak a little bit, I guess, and you would see all these sales happening before it was ever announced. Now it's we've announced a buyback, and we don't even know which card it is yet.
Yeah.
So now it kind of takes away that aspect of being able to game it so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's tied around this massive event, so it's like, you know, kind of a double marketing effort. And, again, like what you were saying, it brings people into card shops. It helps with liquidity. There's no downside of it to me. If you're worried about people blowing all their money chasing these cards, well, people just have to be more responsible with what they're spending. Yeah. But that's the only perceived downside, and I don't even really think that exists.
Yeah, I agree. The bounty is for one person. One person's going to get it. The buyback is really, really smart, and I'm excited about it. I think it's awesome to see it on UFC. It's a great opportunity. That pretty much does it for us this week. Make sure to go to pwccmarketplace.com, check out their weekly auction. Stop by Cards HQ this week from 4 to 9 p.m. or earlier. We'll be open earlier in the day. And if you've got questions or topics you'd like us to discuss, leave them for us down below in the comments. We'll see you next week. Until then, happy investing, keep on collecting, and make sure to have fun.